Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Barrett, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to take up the fourth study in our current series, Further Studies in the Selected Psalms, Psalms that we have selected from the Scripture that we think will be beneficial to our own experience. And the psalm that we wish to consider today is Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph, a choir master, the choir master in David's court. He was a Levite, and he wrote many psalms, and this is another one of Asaph's psalms, Psalm 73. And he has indeed an inner conflict in this psalm, and he grieves about it. But he finds a solution. He goes into the presence of God, and he finds a solution, and the solution is such a beautiful, happy one that we just need to learn by Asaph's experience. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He was materialistically minded, the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men are, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. These people who have so much really just don't need God. And so they become very proud in that their money talks. They are prosperous and they are admired. What more could they want? They don't need God. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And here Asaph looks upon this and he's troubled. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out in fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither. The water of a full cup are wrung out to them. Here he has admirers, and he is surrounded, this man surrounds himself with those who admire him. His people return hither. They come back to him. My, he's prosperous. He must be very, very intelligent. Look at his prosperity. And so they admire him. And then after they return to him, the waters of a full cup are run out to them, too, as well. Through his influence, they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Then he says of himself, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Here I try to cleanse my heart. I've cleansed my heart in vain. It hasn't done me any good to live for God. Here, look at my troubles. I must not be living right. And yet I try. Here he says of himself, I cleansed my heart in vain. It was no use of me trying to be good. I washed my hands in innocency. He kept his path from sin. And here he is now. He is plagued. And he speaks of it. All day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And then he has a real bit of trouble, a real hang-up, a real problem here, an inner conflict. If I will say, I will speak thus, he can't talk about it. If I will speak thus, it was too painful for me. Too painful for me. He would not do it because he says, if I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. This is verse 15. I can't talk about it. Here I have this inner conflict, and I see the prosperity of the wicked, the easy time they have of it, and I just simply cannot understand why these things are happening to me. Well, I'll tell you, he had a lesson to learn. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It was indeed a very severe problem. It caused him pain in his heart. Now, this is where he is. And he's right before God and about it. And he says in the next verse, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. He had to take his troubles to the Lord. You know, we get in this same condition of mind. We are so materialistically in this day and age, when so much can be had, so much to enjoy of this life, we become very, very materialistic. And we just admire the unsaved. But if we know the Lord, he is going to try us. We read, for instance, in Psalm 11, verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Oh, yes, now we begin to see. The Lord lets us get into trouble so that he may deliver us. We read in Psalm 50:15, which we've already considered on the broadcast so recently, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I'm looking for the chance to deliver you. God brings us into trial with which we cannot cope. And we go to him about it. And he wants us to go to him about it. And he says, I'll deliver you, and then you will glorify me. He wants us to learn experimentally what it means to trust in the living God. You know, as long as we can solve our own problems, we don't camp on the Lord's doorstep, do we? We don't ask his help. We're just like the little boy. I think of a little boy that was trying to get out of his bed. He knew something about prayer. He came from a godly family. And he says, oh, God, help me get out of this crib or bed. It was a crib. It was high. And the sides were up, and he couldn't get out. And so the little fellow, he climbed up. He cocked his leg over the top of it, and he shinnied up, and finally he fell out of bed, hit the floor. And then he says, never mind, God, I got out myself. Now, isn't that the way we look at it? If I can fend for myself, I don't need God. And here he learns something about these lessons. These scriptures, I think of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But God wants us to learn experimentally what it means to be delivered by him so that he'll get the glory. He wants us dependent upon him. Just like the little child that puts up his hand into the hand of his parent when they cross a busy street. God wants to feel the pressure of our hands and in his. He wants to feel their warmth. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. And surely this is exactly what this wonderful man who is so frank and so open with his problem that he writes it down and it becomes a part of the Holy Scripture so that you and I might benefit by his experience. He gets into the presence of the Lord about it. And you know that's a good place to be. And sometimes God brings us into these circumstances just so he'll get us into his presence when everything goes lovely, fine, without any trouble. We're so independent. And we are so satisfied with the baubles and the trinkets of this life. Where is our sense of values? Do we value these things? We're not to be covetous. We're not to be set our minds on things. You know, things can take the place of God. And he wants us indeed to be just dependent upon him. He wants to get us into his presence. And that's exactly where this man Asaph goes. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein these prosperous people whom he is admiring, whom he is covetous of. and he shouldn't be. The law, the last of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. We should be satisfied with what our Father gives us. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As in a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. And now he goes into remorse. His envy goes into remorse. Verse 21, thus my heart was grieved. I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant to doubt the goodness of God. And that's my addition. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. And then he begins to assess what he really has. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. And he goes on, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Now he's got his eyes in the right place, hasn't he? He's got them on the Lord. Not on the riches of these people, but on the Lord who has made us rich in his own person. He is our possession. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Now, this is his experience. And he says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. But rather thou hast destroyed them all that go a-whoring from thee. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. I will declare all thy works. And at last, he's got into a right relationship with God. He realizes what he has in Christ. Isn't this a wonderful experience? Now, how long do we have to wait before we begin to realize these things? Isn't it wonderful that Asaph brought out his problem, his hang-up, his inner conflict, and let us look at it? These things were written for our learning and admonition, we read in Corinthians, that we might not fail, upon whom the ends of the age have come, so that we might learn from the Scriptures and learn what it means to trust in the living God. Oh, how wonderful to get our eyes off from these things and get them on the Lord. And if it takes trouble to bring us in and put us on his doorstep, he'll do it for our own good, that we might learn experimentally what it means to have the fellowship of God, the help of God, and trust him by faith. Our Father, today we thank you for giving your Son for us to die on the cross for our sins. This should have won our hearts. And help us to put our faith in thee continuously, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.